I want to start by thanking you, Pastor, for having us in. It's such a blessing to be here. We've been blessed this week, and I want to thank the Mendez family for blessing us with dinner on Saturday night, and the McMahon family, thank you for blessing us as well on Monday night, and the Jansen family, we thank you for blessing us, and the Jacob family, we thank you for blessing us. You've all, and the church as a whole, has been good to us this whole week, and we've had a great time. We've been encouraged by your faithfulness. We've been encouraged by how you want to reach this this city for God, and for you. You want to see people get saved, and I see your faithfulness in that. And so that's encouraged our hearts, because that's exactly what we want to do. One of the things that missionaries really appreciate is when we're headed off to go fight in the battles on the foreign field, so to speak, but it encourages us when we know that there's people back here fighting the battles as well. And this is one church that I'll be able to look back on and remember thinking, you know, they're fighting the battle there in Phoenix, and so that will encourage us in China. You know, there are some places where there's not much of a fight going on anymore, and that's very sad. And so it's encouraging for us to know that there's the fight going on here as well, the service to the Lord. The theme of the conference is the windows of heaven. This specifically comes from Malachi chapter number 3, as we discussed. On Sunday morning, the message was believe God. Sunday night was there is a cause for God. Monday night is said to prove God. Last night was worship God. And tonight is love God. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, I was praying about what would God have me to teach to close up the conference. And as I was thinking about it, I thought what we need to do more than anything else is love God. You know, the reason why we're going to China, you know, some would say, tell us your burden for the people. And we do have a burden for the Chinese people, but it's nothing compared to the burden we have for the Lord Jesus Christ. Our love for Him is what keeps us and motivates us to want to go there. Because, you know, it's easy, you know, as our brother, we were talking earlier, and he said, ministry is wonderful except for the people. You know, we often say that, and that's because it is difficult sometimes. So sometimes the Chinese people are going to disappoint us. Sometimes the Chinese people are going to make us angry. Sometimes the Chinese people are not going to be fun to love on. And so if that was the only reason why we would do it, even though it is one of the main reasons why we're going, but it's the love of Jesus is what's going to keep us. It's the love of Jesus why you're concerned and want to get people on the field. It's the love of Jesus why you want to reach the people of Phoenix. And so that really needs to be our focus. And so let's look at that. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, 8 and 9 in 2 Corinthians, we won't stay here long. I'm going to jump around a little bit tonight. But there in that passage is a main passage that talks about faith promise. And in the middle of that, Paul says this. He says, I speak not my commandment but by occasion of frowardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. And then he goes on to use the word for there. What is this love and who's it for? It says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. We need to simply love God because Jesus left the riches of heaven. He left the riches of heaven for you. He left the riches of heaven so that you might have the riches of heaven. He became poor on this earth. He is the first missionary by far. He came. God gave his son and he came and he died on the cross so that we might have the riches of heaven. And that's why we do the things that we do. And that should be our motivation. And so we're going to look at that tonight. I know it sounds simple to love God, but how does that apply to the windows of heaven? At the heart of God's challenge of us believing him, knowing his cause, proving him, worshiping is loving him. That is the heart. One of the things that he wanted to stir the people in the book of Malachi is to stir them as we talked about, out of that apathy, out of that just kind of disillusionment with walking with God, because he wants us to love him. He wants us to be motivated by love. And so as we think about that, first of all, let's look that God first loved us. In fact, Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that's explained very clearly in John chapter number 3. So turn there, if you would. John chapter number 3. It's a great book in the Bible because it shows the heart of Jesus. You know, there was a religious man that came to talk to Jesus. He snuck in the cover of night because he wanted to hear from Jesus. And he kind of mentioned some random things in verse number 2. And Jesus gets right to the point. where Jesus is always concerned about the heart of man. He says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus is concerned about, seeing people get saved. And then he goes on to explain how one can be saved. And we know the most famous verse of all time, probably, and we see it all over the place, John 3:16. We know it by heart. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God gave. That's what God does. He loves us so much that he gave his Son. And that's how, and we need to emulate what God did. God was the first giver, and now he wants us to give love back to him. And so he tells us to love. And in this chapter, it also talks about how, for God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's why Jesus came. But notice what it says in the next verse. It's a very serious verse. It's the one that should shock us and remind us of what the great need of the world is. It says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, which we rejoice in. Praise the Lord for that. But then it says, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come to the world, and then men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That is, if people don't put their faith in Jesus Christ, they are condemned already. You know, if you're here tonight and you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, you've believed on him, you have been born again, as it says there, you realize that you were a sinner and you repented of that sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ, you can rejoice in the first part of 18. It says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Believers are not condemned. We will stand before the Lord and he will say, come on in. He will say, come into heaven. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we'll rejoice over that. But if you are here tonight and there's never been a time that you put your faith in Jesus Christ, if there's never been a time that you recognize that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, tonight you can do that, because otherwise you're in the second part of this verse, you are condemned. Because you have rejected the Son. You have turned away from him and said, I'm not going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, but he that believeth not is condemned already. But Jesus wants you to believe. He doesn't want you to be condemned. It says right here why he came, for God sent not his Son in the world to condemn you. That's not his desire. He wants to see you get saved. And tonight you can do that. Tonight you could put your faith in Jesus Christ and be saved. And then you would be in his family. You would be part of the family of God, and you'd get to spend eternity with him. Don't leave this place tonight being condemned already. And those of us that are believers, that motivates us to want to get the gospel to the world. Because we know that Jesus has provided a way, but then he passed that on to us. He said, now it's your responsibility. I'm passing that on to you. I want you to get the gospel to the world. It is what he wants us to do. You know, one of the things that it's talking about that's condemned already in Revelation chapter number 20, in verse number 11, it says this. It says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. There's going to be a judgment day. And those that haven't put their faith in Jesus Christ, they'll be at this great white throne judgment, and there's going to be no place found for them. Look what it says in verse number 14. It says, and death and hell were cast in a lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in a lake of fire. That is the condemnation that it's talking about. That will be your final place if you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ. And we don't want to see that happen here. But that also should be why we want to get the gospel to the world, is because we don't want to see that. There's places around the world where they don't even have the opportunity to reject Christ because they haven't heard about him yet. And so we want to be moved by love, moved for love for God, because he first loved us. And so when you're thinking about that message, you know, when you're thinking about, you know, what can I do about that? Well, tonight is your opportunity to vote on what you can do about that by bringing your offering to the Lord and saying, I want to do something about that. And that's because, and your motivation is because God first loved you. But not only that, notice and turn your Bible, since we're in the book of John already, go to chapter number 21 of the book of John. That's chapter number 21. And I was thinking about this. The Lord brought this passage to my mind in chapter number 21, verse number 15. It says, "So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?' He saith unto him, 'Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.' He saith unto him, 'Feed my lambs.'" And as I was thinking about that, we know that this was to Peter, and this was restoring his fellowship with this. And there's so much more that could be talked about in this chapter here and in this passage. But as I was thinking about it, I realized, notice what Jesus says. He asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And then he says, "I want you to minister. Go minister then, Peter. Go minister. I want you to go and do something about getting the gospel to the world. I want you to feed my lambs." He says that three, and then feed my sheep twice. He says, go then. How you can show love to me is by ministering to others. You can love others into the kingdom of God. You can minister to others. And so in this passage, he says, "Do you love me?" And then his response, when Peter says, "You know I love you," he says, "Then this is what I want you to do." And so shouldn't that be our response as well? When we want to tell God that we love him, shouldn't we go and minister to others? Shouldn't we go and find ways that we can give them the gospel? Because that is the greatest ministry that we can give them. We can minister in other ways, and we should. But the greatest ministry we have to the lost in this world is getting the gospel to them. Because if you minister to their physical needs, and then Jesus comes back the next day, they're still lost and going to hell. And so we need to minister to them. How we show God, Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And then he says, go minister, feed my sheep. And I find that wonderful that he does that. It's a response that we should have as all. Do we love God? And how we show him that is by loving other people and working and doing what we can to get the gospel to them. Then next it says, love God by loving others. We in 1 John, verse number 4, if you turn your Bibles to 1 John, verse number 4. We sang a song about these verses today in chapel. It was wonderful. But in this chapter it says, beloved, chapter 4, verse number 7, it says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be in the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. You know, how we show God love is by loving those that we can see. It says here in this passage that we can't see God, so who can we love? How can we demonstrate our love to God? How can we demonstrate that he has put his love in us? By loving those that are around us. And so one of the ways that we can do that is by giving to foreign missions. Thinking about the offering this week, we can give to that offering so that we might get the gospel out to more people around the world. But we can also minister around here. You know, I thank you for the different opportunities, Pastor, in your leadership. You have two different opportunities each week for the church to come out and minister. On Tuesday nights, there's door knocking. On Sunday, there's the bus ministry, building the bus ministry. Those are two wonderful opportunities where we can show this is a way that I love others in this community by reaching out to them. You know, it's so important to be a part of that. And, you know, it is a blessing to be part of a church that provides those opportunities. You know, because a lot of us are doing a lot of other things throughout the week. And so if the church is providing those opportunities, we show up and we're involved already. We don't have to do all the planning. We don't have to look for different ways. We can come and be a part of that. That's one of the benefits of being a part of a church. But it's also one of the benefits of a church that leads in those things. And so get involved in that. And you can show here, you can show your love for God by reaching out and loving your neighbors, loving those into the kingdom of God. And that's what this passage is all about. It says, let us love one another, for love is of God. And that's how we show God our love. We do that by loving our neighbors. One of the things that a poem that I'd read says, if you were lost in the darkness and night with no one to show you the way, wouldn't you want someone to send you the light? And wouldn't you want it today? If sinking in evil traditions, you were bound by what you believed, helpless and hopeless, oh, wouldn't you want a chance at least to be free? Would you want them to wait while they builded new homes and paid for still a better car? Or while making the home base an elegant place before sending the message afar? Would you want them to wait and table their plans to expand on missions this year because of the problems around the world and the days of certain uncertainty here? Would you want someone to send you the light if you were dying and lost? Oh, I know that your answer would ring through the gloom. Please send it at any cost. So let's send out the message to the billions in need that we might show them the way. For if it were you who were dying and lost, you'd want it and want it today. You know, there is such a great need around the world. In the country of China, you know, as I've told, I mentioned the other night, you know, the need is great there. There's the government, the whole system of government says that there is no God. The whole system of government teaches young people, as I mentioned the other night, that there is no God. They want to control the religion there, that Satan has a firm hold there in China. And that's like that way all around the world. We were in Thailand as well, which, Pastor, you've been there many times. You remember the little spirit houses that were all over the place. I mean, there's a darkness that's in these lands where they don't have the light. You know, Brother Mendez was talking about how he went by this jail this one time, and he just sensed the darkness in the prison they went through. You know, there is darkness. There's a spiritual battle going on all around, and we need to get the light there. We need to get the light to them, and that's, you know, in a place like China. And let me tell you a quick story about what will happen if you take some time to think about the love for the love of God that you're willing to give more to missions. There was a man named, his name is Levi. That's his American name or his English name because he's from China. Well, this young man was invited to what's called a gathering. And a gathering in China, that's what they call it, is a church service because they don't really know much about church. And so he said, hey, there's a gathering going on. There's some people. Why don't you come to this gathering? And so he decided to go and find out what's going on. It was mentioned that some Americans would be there. And so he thought, yeah, I'll go check that out. And so Levi comes to this gathering. And as he comes to the gathering, he notices there's something different about these people. They love each other. And that's a little bit unusual in China. I mean, not that they don't have love there, that's what I'm saying, but they're not a very affectionate people, and they don't openly show love that much. And so he noticed that they loved each other. And so that kept drawing him back, and he kept coming back to this gathering. And as he kept coming back and kept coming back, he got saved. And as he got saved, he was faithful to church because he wanted to know more about what happened in his life. And as he kept coming back to church, the missionary noticed that he was being faithful to church. And so as he noticed that he was being faithful to church, he said, you know, Levi, would you mind standing at the door? And when people walk up to the building, we just open the door for them and say, hey, welcome. I'm glad to have you here. And he thought, well, I can do that. And so he started doing that. And the missionary watched him for week after week. And he noticed that that young man's being faithful. And so then he pulled Levi aside and he said, Levi, would you be willing to pass the plate? You know, when we pass the plate during the service, would you be willing to be one of the, it's called an usher. And he said this all in Chinese, of course. But since I don't know Mandarin Chinese yet, I can't tell you exactly. But that's what he said, basically those words. And as he did that, he was faithful doing that. And so as he kept praying for this young man, the missionary did. He saw that this man was being faithful with those things. So he asked him, would you be willing to come? And before, you know, during the middle of the service, you'll just open up the Bible and read a verse and then just say a couple things about the verse. He said, I'll help you with that, of course. I mean, I'll help you to be able to go to explain what that verse means. So he did that and he was able to do that. And he was faithful doing that. And so then one day the missionary pulls him aside and he said, would you consider being a pastor? Well, this scared Levi because he was concerned about some things. One thing, he didn't know much about what a pastor was, and he thought, well, a pastor, you know, I mean, how does a pastor get paid? Well, you know, no woman will want to marry me because I'm a pastor, and they don't know what a pastor is about. And then he had some medical problems as well, and so he thought, you know, I don't know if I could ever do that. You know, there's all these different problems. And so he went away and he started praying and asking God, God, I don't know if I can do that. He really sensed that God was calling him to do it, but he just said, I don't know if I can do that or not. But then he realized that because Jesus came and died for him, that Jesus left the riches of heaven and became poor so that he might have the riches of heaven, that he was willing to serve God however he wanted to serve him. And so Levi said, yes, I will be willing to do that. And so he was trained. And I'm great. We were able to meet Levi. He came over, and he's one of the many mission pastors that has now been pastoring a church there in Harbin, China, for many years now, for 5 years. The church has been there for 10 years. Actually, it's been 6 years now. He's the Lord brought him a wonderful wife. The Lord has taken care of all his needs all along. And he no longer has those medical problems either. He's doing a great job. Not only that, but he's also helped the other pastor, one of the pastors close to him that was also started, the church that was started by the missionary named Stephen. He's helped him start 4 more churches there in Harbin, China. And that was all because people love God, and how they showed their love to God, they loved a missionary to send him to China. And God used that missionary to find a faithful man and to train him up to be a pastor. And so there's churches started, not only the church, because the missionary was asked to leave the country, but because he trained men to train men, as I mentioned, those 4 churches were started there. So it's amazing, as we love God and we love the world by giving our faith promise to missions, it's amazing what God can do with that. And that's what he wants to do all over the world. He wants to start churches because we know that churches are the place where people are discipled. I don't believe the whole commission is actually fulfilled until a church is started. If you look in Matthew chapter number 28, it says, it talks all about the job of the church. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That is the job of the church, those things, discipling and training up men. And that's exactly what happens when we love God to send out missionaries around the world. So as you think about that, as you think about what you are going to give for Faith Promise, know, as we discussed, that when you bring your tithes and offerings, so you will not only see God's blessing on others, but you'll be a partaker. So the first thing, as we talked about on Sunday morning, when we believe God and we bring our tithes and offerings, we will get to see the blessing, but we'll also be partakers of that. Don't be like the counselor to the king who saw the blessing but did not get to partake. We also realize that there is a cause, like Brother Mitch talked about on Sunday night, and it's world evangelism. Just like David, he knew God's glory was at stake. He did not stop to analyze but ran into the fight. Are we going to do that? Because there is a fight that's going on, and it's called world evangelism. It's getting rid of darkness in this world and getting the gospel in there. So that is our cause today. But we also prove God and see if he will not bless you more than you can handle. He wants to bless, but will we take the step of faith and bring the faith promise offering? We also realize who it is, that Jesus, he is the one. He is worthy. He's worthy to sacrifice and bring an offering to. And then lastly, we love God by doing all these things. We love him by loving others. That's how we show love to God on this earth. We love others into the kingdom of God. It's now time to answer these questions. The answer is tonight. And as Pastor mentioned, over the next couple of weeks, as Faith Promise coming in, ask God, would you take some time to ask God, what would you have me to give? What would be my response? What would be my part? And again, as we started out with in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, I speak not by commandment. We mentioned this the other night as well, that when we give a faith offering, a faith promise, it's not by guilt. It's not by anything that we do it out of need. We do it because we love God. We do it because we're saying, God, we love you this much and we want to give to you because you first loved us. As it mentions in 9 here, our motivation is because we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this evening. I thank you for the privilege of opening your word.